5, John 19, and then beginning at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this very special day that truly is deserving upon the mothers in this room, over the internet, in our country. As goes our mothers, so goes our country. God, please bless them today in a special way. Help them to be honored as they should and truly should be. But Father, we need to hear from heaven today. And we're asking that you would help us hear what you have for us to make us better moms, better Christians, better servants for you today. For that all to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit as he comes and speaks to us. And then, Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that they would trust him and accept him today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Please make sure that your cell phone is turned to off or vibrate for us. Check that right now quickly, please, and make sure it is so. We would appreciate that very much. In the most pivotal moment in human history, the cross, Jesus is paying for the sins of mankind, all our sins. The Bible said he is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is it. If there is a great moment in human history or a greater moment, I couldn't give it to you. This is it. It's the cross. And we read a moment ago in John's gospel that there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Her name is not mentioned, but everybody knows who that is. That's Mary. Please listen now. On this Mother's Day, I'd like to use the example of this dear lady and talk to you about a mother who stood by the cross. You know, it's amazing when you stop to think about it. Some religions exalt Mary to a position that God never intended. I'll never forget being in the Philippines and seeing a probably four-story high mural on a wall, a painting, and it was of Mary holding some religious articles in her hands and the statement written over the top of her head that said, by this I will save the world. There are places in third world countries today where Jesus is nailed on a cross in a place of prominence for people to see. And on the other side of the cross, Mary is nailed to the back side of that cross. Some call her the Queen of Heaven and Immaculate Conception, all the stuff that they say about Mary. Those things are religious things that were never intended. Unfortunately, because of that mistaken stuff, the truth about a really godly and great woman is often mistaken and not used. Mary was quite an amazing woman. She was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she miraculously conceived in her womb without the seed of man, the seed of Christ. And she gave birth as a virgin. First time it ever happened, only time it has ever happened. But she was willing to accept that in her life and accept what it meant. Mary is an amazing woman because here at the foot of the cross, now it's the time for suffering, and Jesus is her son, her earthly son to speak of. And the mob is howling. You understand that crucifixion was meant not only to torture someone to death. You don't kill someone by nailing them to a cross. They could hang there sometimes 2, 3, or 4 days before they would die. It was meant to be a very slow and torturous death. Victims were always stripped and then beaten and then hung on the cross. We know and understand from crucifixion that it was not only meant to be a torturous death, it was meant to be shameful. They were always stripped naked and hung out in a public place. And then the Bible says, or the history teaches us, Often the family members of the one to be crucified were required to go and stand at the cross with them, so they would also bear the shame of the one who was crucified. We have no record of Scripture that tells us Mary was required to be there. And my own thinking, I believe she wanted to be there. But understand what happens here. She is standing at the foot of the cross, a place of crucifixion, where Jesus was meant to be shamed for what he was doing. People would go by and spit on him. That means she got spit on also. People would go by and mock him and ridicule him. No doubt people would say yes, and that's his mother standing right there, also bearing the shame of the Savior. So when it says, and there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, understand it means a little bit more than she just happened to show up and wanted to be there. She was willing to take whatever Jesus was going to have to endure, and she was willing to stand at the foot of his cross. I wonder this morning, do you have a mother who is the same, who is willing to take her stand for Jesus Christ? Did you have a mom who was like that? Are you a mother who is like that today? For the example this lady sets, I believe, is a good example, not only for moms, everybody, but in the particular case of Mother's Day and what it means, I want us to just take a moment today and talk about this mother who stood by the foot of the cross and what it meant when she took that stand. First of all, it meant that she took the right stand. She took the right position. She's standing at the foot of the cross. And whatever shame that Jesus has to bear, she is willing to bear that. Whatever disgrace that is brought, she is willing to stand beside him no matter. Take your stand by the Savior, Mom. Realize that the payment that Jesus is making on that cross was as much for Mary's sin as it is for yours and for mine. Seems today, now we've got everything, or it seems too many today have this idea in mind that standing by a Savior that is not a popular one. Now the people are reinventing him all the time, but this Jesus, the one of the Bible, is bearing the sins of mankind, and she is willing to stand there and say, I will stand by the cross. Not kneel by the cross, not sit at the cross. I will stand at the cross. It's a position that says, I agree, and I am willing to accept that this and that which is done here, I accept it fully and freely. Stand by the cross, Mom. She took the right position. Every time someone would go by and spit or howl or scream or holler at Jesus, they would say awful and horrible things about him. The religious crowd would come by and say, if you're really the Son of God, pull the nails out of your hands and feet and come down off that cross and we'll really believe who you are this time. Same crowd that saw him heal. Same crowd that saw him feed multitudes. Same crowd that stood at the grave of Lazarus, a man dead 4 days, and saw Jesus call that man out of the grave and bring him back to life. Same crowd now defies who Jesus is. Same crowd still rejects Jesus today. Same crowd still turns their back on the cross. Same crowd still says they'd rather have the baptism and their religion and their church and their works. Same crowd would rather have what they have than what Jesus is providing for them. Mary stood by the cross. You stand by the cross today. Take that right position. Claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe that he is the one who's paying for your sins, and in his death, that is the full payment for sin. By the way, that's the only way to have salvation this morning, for neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is salvation in Christ alone. Take that position this morning. That stand that Mary took, I believe. See, those who honor Mary and reverence her to a place that she was sinless in her life and sinless in the way she lived and went to heaven as the Queen of Heaven today. But if you know your Bible, you know that Mary realized and called out and said that he was her Savior also. Is Jesus your Savior this morning? Is he and he alone your hope of salvation and forgiveness of your sins? Do you believe that his death on the cross alone would be the payment for your sin and nothing else? That his resurrection 3 days and three nights later would be alone your hope of eternal life? Do you stand this morning by the cross of Christ? Mary did. She took the right position when she took that stand. Do that, Mom. Listen to me, Mom. Do that now with your children. As they're little and their little children, as they don't wait until they have to go to Sunday school to hear about Jesus. Don't wait until we pick them up on a bus and bring them. We're glad to do that now. Don't wait. Don't listen. The world will not let them wait to be taught and instructed. So, Mom, you need to take those children at your knee and teach them about Jesus. That should be the first words they hear out of your mouth. The first things that you teach them, tell them. I was had the privilege to be in the delivery room for all four of the children God gave us. First words they heard their dad say was, "Daddy, my name's Daddy, son." They say it's Father. And the next thing they heard me say was, "His name is Jesus. And He loves you. And He died on the cross for your sins." Take your stand this morning, Mom. She took the right position when she took that stand. She took the position of standing by Christ. When she stood by the cross, she also stood by the right person. She stood by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, of course, He is her son. Say, well, any good mother would be there. I would believe that some time ago. Nowadays, I wonder today. I wonder if we've gotten the idea, or we understand maybe better the idea that motherhood is not just an instinct. It is a decision. It is a choice that a person makes. It is someone who steps up to the responsibility of motherhood. But I also know that Mary stood by the cross because of who Jesus was. He was her Savior. And He had given her eternal life and salvation and forgiveness. And now that He was going to give her the payment for of Himself, she was wanting to stand by Jesus who was on the cross. Yes, it was her Son, but it's also the Son of God. And God the Son. Don't let anybody reinvent or redefine for you who Jesus Christ is. Don't let the world tell you who Jesus is. Don't let them just denigrate Him to some position where He is equal to or along beside Muhammad and Allah and Buddha and all the other great religious leaders of their times. He is not equal to that. Jesus Christ is high and exalted and above all and others. Don't let the world tell you who Jesus is. Don't let the you know, it's amazing today how His name is used so flippantly in profanity and cursing. And the people say His name as if it was just something to be bandied about, when His name should be exalted and lifted up. For one day, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God, to the glory of Jesus, that His name is Jesus Christ. They'll kneel to that name. She took the right position when she took that stand, and she took the right person. That's Jesus. That's who He is. I'm not asking you to brag. I'm not asking you to be unkind. I'm not asking you to be arrogant about it. But ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for the people of God to take their stand by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see all kinds of people today trying to put themselves in almost a messianic Christ-like position. I'm sorry. I'm thankful for the help of people who try to do the things that they do for our society. And I'm thankful for those who are willing to do something to try to make the world a better place in which they live. But there is only one Jesus. Just one. I remember working in a lunch meat factory in South Chicago while I was in Bible college. One more time. Do not eat packaged lunch meat. All right, the stuff they slice at the deli that you see it come off the chicken, that works. Off the turkey or the ham leg, whatever, that's okay. Packaged lunch meat, And I won't go into that and ruin your lunch today of why you don't eat packaged lunch meat. But I remember working in this lunch meat factory in South Chicago and working with guys in a maintenance shop who worked on the high-speed packaging machinery and things like this. And these men were just, you know, common, everyday kind of guys, roll up the shirt sleeves kind of fellows, you know, the kind of guys who think that cursing is a part of life, who think that that makes you a man, when in fact it proves you have a poor grasp of the English language and a lack of education, whether you got an education degree or not. And I'd work in the factory with these men, and after a while they found out I was studying to be a pastor. So then they start making fun of me. Watch out, here comes the Reverend. Reverend Johnson, how are you doing tonight? I said, no kneeling, please, no kneeling. Every now and then we'd be working together. One of them would slip and take the name of God in vain. I said, pardon me, please don't do that. You're talking about my friend. One guy said, oh, it's no big deal. I said, it may not be to you, but it is to me. And I wasn't trying to be unkind. I did have a big wrench in my hand. I could have been unkind if I wanted to. And every now and then I kind of pointed at him like that and I'd say, "You're talking about my friend." Did you know it wasn't too long after that we'd be working together somewhere in the factory? One of them would do something, slip, and he'd curse and use the name of God. And he'd stop me and say, "I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry." I said, "Well, don't apologize to me. It's not my name you're using. It's his name." "Okay, okay, fine." My trainer, when I worked in that factory, was a man who's an avowed and outright atheist in his life. He told me the first day we started working together, he said, "I'm going to tell you something right now. They call you the preacher, don't they?" I said, "Well, yes." I said, "I'm studying to be a pastor." He goes, "Well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God." "And keep God to yourself." I said, "I come to work. What do we need to do?" And we started to work together, and then he'd say something. He'd be working, and he'd say something. "Well, so, you like believe in life after death or something." I said, "Well, the Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, but after this, the judgment." "Won't you?" "Hey, hey, don't preach to me." I said, "Hey, hey, don't ask questions. You ask questions, I'm going to give you an answer." "Okay, never mind, just forget about it. Let's get back to work." I said, "Okay, fine." A couple of days would go by. "So you really think there's a heaven and a hell, huh?" I said, "Well, the Bible says." He goes, "Hey, hey." I said, "Hey, hey. You ask questions, I'm giving answers." I'm not asking you to go around and beat people over the head with your family Bible. But my soul, he is cussed all the time. He is blamed for every disaster. Everything happens as bad. Act of God. No one said that about the sunrise this morning, but it was. No one said that about the sunset last night, but it was. No one said that about our springtime that lasted 24 hours, but it was. Why can't we take a stand for Jesus Christ? Someone uses his name. Why can't we sit here talking about my friend? I'd appreciate you watching your language. Why can't we do that? She stood by the right person. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my soul, we'll stand up for this and we'll stand up for that and we'll stand for our causes and our reasons, and then the name of Christ is denigrated and we keep our mouths closed. Try that with a Muslim and they'll try to cut your head off. Insult one of their religious leaders. Yeah, she took the right stand. She took the right position. She took the right person. But when she stood by the foot of the cross, she also took the right process of things. Let me explain to you what I mean. Back when Mary was told that she would be the chosen one to carry the Christ child in her body, in prophetic utterance, Simeon said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 35, he said to Mary that a sword would pierce through her soul because of that child. I don't know if she understood it then or not, but she understood it at the foot of the cross. Because that is his mother. And that is a place of shame. And he is suffering the most horrible death you could possibly imagine. And he is being mocked and ridiculed, and they're spitting on him and they're spitting on her. And she's had to watch the entire process of things that went on in the trial and the mockery of it all. And all these people that turn against him, and there she is. And then that moment, that would take place in the heart of any mother who watches one of her own through a time of suffering and difficulty. The sword would pierce through her soul, but she still stood by the process of what it meant for the cross. Kind of sad today, isn't it? That God is only the God of the good times of life. That's just it. He's only good in God when I have money in the bank, clothes on my back, roof over my head, good health, and life is going my direction. And I'm getting what I want out of life. That's only when God is good, you know. God's not good in the valleys. God's not good in the dark midnights. God's not good when I don't understand everything. That's when God's not good. That's when some today are willing to say, "Well, you know, I don't know about God and all this stuff in my life." She's standing and watching the most horrible event a mother could possibly endure, seeing the disgrace and the shame of everything of the cross, watching everything that takes place, and she's standing at the foot of that cross and saying, "I accept this process as what God's designed and desired for my son and for my life." And that sword still pierced through her soul. And she still stood at the cross. So how's it going, Christian? Well, I'll tell you, everything was going all right, but then I lost my job and everything was going okay, and then I had difficulties, and then there was trouble in my home and there was trouble in my life, and there's difficulties that I face, and I don't know what God's all about anymore. I just don't know. Well, I do know this. I do know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know how they do, but I know that they do. I don't know when that they do, but I know that they do. I don't know the way that they do, but I know that they do. I don't know the timing of how this thing, all things worked. I don't understand all of that. I don't know the process of it all, but I know there's God behind the process of everything that comes to our lives. Don't you understand this morning, dear people? It's not that, well, we'll stand by the cross when times are good. We'll stand by the cross whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. We'll stand by the cross. We'll stand by what God allows. We'll stand by what God brings. We'll stand by what God does. We'll stand by what God doesn't do. We'll stand, and we'll stand with Him. When she took her stand, she's saying, I know what this means. And I know the shame and the... Where are all these people, by the way? Where are all the multitudes that He fed? And where are all the people He raised from the dead? And where are all His disciples? There's one there. John's recording this. He's there, but where are the other? We know one has hung himself, but there should have been 10 more. Where are these people? Where are those who walk with Him? Where are those He taught so much? Where are those He cared for? Where are those people that He gathered in His arms? And where is all of those? Where are all these people? But when she stood by the process of what God was allowing, did you notice she didn't stand alone there? And it stood with her sister Mary and another Mary. And when you take your stand for Jesus Christ, you'll encourage others to do the same. Now, listen, we shouldn't have to have anybody to encourage us. If we have to stand alone, we'll stand alone. If we have to stand by ourselves, then we'll stand by ourselves. If we have no one to join us, that's perfectly all right. But I've never seen it happen in the history of mankind where someone who took their stand and didn't eventually encourage someone else to do the same. Maybe not in the moment, but somewhere down the road it took place. William Borden was a young man who went off to the mission field. And before he got to the mission field, contracted meningitis. He was going to China and he died in Egypt. Borden was a part of a very wealthy family, and he set aside all that he could have received to go and serve God with his life. Some people think, well, that was a great sacrifice, but he never got to where he was going to China. He died in Egypt. He never got to the mission field. He never did anything on the mission field. He never won one soul to Christ. He suffered and died a horrible death in Egypt on his way to the mission field after he divested himself of all of his wealth and everything else. And so what good did that do William Borden? I mean, what good did he possibly accomplish? Literally hundreds of people went to the mission field to take his place. And God took one young man on his way to the field to take hundreds to go to the field to take his spot. And the money that he divested himself of, he helped to start Moody Bible Institute with, and other colleges that helped train missionaries, that helped send out hundreds of workers. Listen, people, this you take your stand, you'll encourage others in some way. I assure you of that. You take your stand. When the process of God does not go the way you think it should go, you stand for Christ. You take your stand by what God does. God has a way to put this thing together the way He determines. And it will turn out the way it's supposed to. Because when Mary stood by the cross, that wasn't the end, was it? She'll watch Him in that 6-8 hours of time struggle for every breath that He takes. How much that, no wonder the sword pierced her soul. To see that the man who has a boy and a baby and a boy and a young man growing up, she no doubt held him many times and comforted and consoled Jesus. And she can do nothing for what he's suffering now. And every breath is a torturous moment for him to pull himself up with nails through his hands, pushing himself with nails through his ankles, to draw a breath just to come down again and up again and down again and up again. And the struggle of his life, and then the howling mob and the spitting and the cursing and all that goes on, but she's standing firmly beside him. And when he gives his last breath, it's not over, and Mary knows it's not. 3 days and 3 nights later, that same Jesus rose from the dead. Not too long after that, the disciples were gathered in an upper room on a great day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God is about to come down upon them with great power. You know who's at Pentecost? It's Mary. She's there. She was there through all of that. She's mentioned it again in some of the epistles later on, the letters to the churches. She's mentioned again. This lady stayed faithful. She didn't just take her stand one day. She took her stand for all of her life, from the moment of the miraculous conception of Christ in her womb till her death. Mary stayed faithful to God. Because when she took a stand, that wasn't for a moment. It was for her life. And there stood by the cross his mother. We don't even have to have her name recorded. We know who that is. That is a godly lady who took her stand. Can I ask you a question this morning, ladies? By the way, anybody else too? Have you decided to take your stand by the cross? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?